And we'll start off with just a short recap of where we've been so far. We learned that our God is the only God, and that we should have no other gods before Him. We learned that we shall not make an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. We learned that we shall not misuse the name of the Lord, our God. We also learned that we should hold to Sabbath principles. And last week we learned that we are called to honor our father and mother. Well, what use are these commandments for us? How can we think about them as Christians? I came up with four different things. The first one, the commandments reveal who God is to us. We learn about God by diving in and understanding His commandments. We learn about His will and His ways and the way that He operates and the way that He's thinking about humanity. So it reveals who God is and how He's a righteous and holy God. Number two, the law of God, these Ten Commandments, they highlight our weaknesses. They highlight our sin. They highlight that we are in desperate need of a Savior. We can look at the Ten Commandments and we can say, oh yeah, I've messed up in all of these categories. And not just once, but multiple times. So we recognize that we are in need of a Savior. We're in need of Jesus. Number three, another use for the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, there's a good reason to have these in schools and in courthouses and on state capitals and these kinds of things. The Ten Commandments restrain evil. They restrain evil. When societies and nations are following these commandments, evil is restrained. And finally, number four, these Ten Commandments show what is pleasing to God. Shows what is pleasing to God. The Ten Commandments, we can sometimes think about them as a way to go to school. If we want to go to school about the ways of God, we can go to His Ten Commandments and we can learn about Him, we can learn about our own weaknesses, we can learn about evil, and we can learn about what's pleasing to God. Now, before we get into our commandment for today, I've repeated this every week, and I want to repeat it again because it's so important in our society. Our society has this idea that if you do good and you stay away from these Ten Commandments, that your good actions are going to grant you eternal life. That's not what Christianity is about. What Christianity is about is our Savior Jesus. We find out in the law that we are sinners, and we turn to Christ. We need help. We can't dig ourselves out of original sin. We need a Savior, and that's what Jesus came to do. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins so that we would have eternal life. So we don't look to good works. We look to Jesus as our Savior. And then after we know that we are saved by the precious blood of Jesus, by His incredible righteousness, then we have a new heart, and we're new people, and we have the Holy Spirit in us, because we receive the Holy Spirit when we turn to Jesus and make Him our Savior. And now, as new men and women, we want to live a grateful life. We want to live in line with God and His will and His ways. So we look to these Ten Commandments to show us what is pleasing to God. So just want to go over that again just to make sure, because it is so important for us as Christians to know that it's not about being good to be accepted by God. We are accepted through Christ. And we are justified by faith, not by good works. All right. Today we are looking at the sixth commandment. This is one of the shorter ones. So we'll have the reading of God's word after we pray. Gracious God, we thank you for bringing us the Ten Commandments. And Lord, we know that these are the best way to live. You have laid it out for us. You have showed us that, this is your will. These are your ways. Lord, give us guidance as we think about how to follow them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, this one's pretty short. It's Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. You shall not murder. You shall not murder. Well, before we get into talking about the text, I wanted to start by talking about who we know God to be. We know that our God is the giver of life. In Genesis, we read that God formed man out of the dust of the earth. We read in the Psalms, too, that God is the creator of our soul, and that He knit us together in our mother's womb. From the prophet Jeremiah, we hear that even before we were formed in the womb, God knew us and set us apart. And Jesus, who is He? Well, Jesus is the Word of life. In 1 John 1, we read that Jesus is the giver of life and the giver of eternal life. And what are we? We are made in the image of God. Why were we created? What is this life about? This wonderful life that the giver of life has given us. Number one, we were created to glorify God. We're talking about praising Him and worshiping Him. So number one, glorify God. Number two, we were created to enjoy Him forever, to delight in Him, to look to Him as the giver of life, to thank Him for it, and to live for Him and to follow His will and His ways. So we walk into this particular commandment knowing that God is the giver of life. Now, let's dive into the text for a minute. In the NIV, what we're reading here, this is the 1984 version of the NIV. It says, "You shall not murder." This is the same translation that we find in, and if you want to know what these abbreviations stand for later on, come and ask me and I'll let you know. But the NIV is the same as the ESV, the NLT, the NKJV, and the NRSV. Now, there is another translation, and I believe this translation is the one that is printed on the board that we have on the wall outside. I think it's that way if I remember right. But this one comes from the KJV and the ASV. And this one, instead of saying, "You shall not murder," says, "Thou shalt not kill." Maybe that's the one that you remember growing up. "Thou shalt not kill." Now, I do want to point out that older translation, "thou shalt not kill," can lead to a misunderstanding of what this commandment is all about. And the issue that we're talking about, the misunderstanding, can be the issue of pacifism. So there are some that have looked at this commandment, thou shalt not kill, and they think, you know, this applies to any type of killing. No self-defense, no defending yourself as a nation in war, and no death penalty. Those kinds of things. Well, that's not what this command is about. This command means never murder. Never murder. So we're talking about first-degree murder. We're talking about reckless homicide. We're talking about deciding on your own to take a life. We're talking about taking one's own life, suicide. We're talking about euthanasia. We're talking about abortion. We're talking about unjustly killing. That's what this commandment's about. Never murder. Never murder. Well, why do I point this out? Well, I point this out to make sure that you know that God does not contradict himself. In other parts of the Old Testament, we hear about capital punishment for the people of Israel. We hear about the death penalty. We hear about self-defense, and we hear about just war. Just war. So God does not contradict himself. This commandment is not about all killing. It's specifically about murder, about never murdering. How are we to think about this as Christians? I would invite you, if you want to dive into this later, maybe over a discussion over lunch or dinner, depending on if you grew up in the country or not. But I would open up Romans 13 if you're interested in talking about this later, this particular issue. Romans 13, 1 through 7, check that out. It can help inform your discussion about the difference between kill and murder and what we're talking about here. Now, we've established that what we're talking about here is murder. And when it comes to this commandment, maybe you're starting to think to yourself, like most of our society, you know, I've never murdered anyone. I'm not ever going to murder anyone. What does this commandment have to do with me? You know, first degree murder, that kind of thing. I'm good when it comes to God. I don't have anything to worry about. I'm not Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm not Ed Gein. I'm not Daryl Brooks, the Waukesha Parade massacre guy. I'm good with God on this commandment, and maybe this is a commandment I don't have to worry about. I don't have to think about. Well, today I wanted to make sure that I brought this commandment home to us. Because, I mean, my hope is that murder never comes up for any of you. The action of it. But there's another dimension that we need to make sure that we talk about. You know, Jesus confronted the Pharisees one time. And he said, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and self-indulgence. You know, the commands that we have here in Exodus chapter 20, it's not just about outward action. None of these are just about outward action. It's also about our heart. It's also about our heart. And Jesus brings out the heart of this command in the Sermon on the Mount. Let me read a couple of verses to you here out of Matthew 5. He says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. What is Jesus getting at here? Well, he's getting to the heart of the sixth commandment. The sixth commandment, it deals with actual murder, but it also deals with the attitudes that lead up to it. We have this in 1 John also, 1 John 3:15. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Now, like I said, you have probably not murdered anyone, but what about hating? Are there people in our community that you hate? Just absolutely despise them? You hate them? Can't stand them? Maybe there's somebody else in this room here that's, maybe you sit on the other side of the aisle from them, and maybe you have hatred in your heart for them. You can't stand them, and you wish they would just disappear because you don't want to see their face ever again. That gets us to the heart of this commandment. We can look to our own catechism, and I think the writers of the catechism do a great job of highlighting the heart of this commandment. They say that we are not to dishonor, hate, injure, or kill our neighbor by thought, word, gesture, and certainly not by deed. No holding grudges, no hatred, put away desires for revenge, and you shall not belittle or insult them either. This commandment is not just about outward action, but about our inward spiritual condition. We know that Satan is a destroyer of life and comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And man, this last while, I've been completely shocked, just absolutely shocked, by how many people I see on social media and in other places rallying around Luigi Mangione. This is the young man that executed that United Healthcare CEO, Brian Thompson, on the streets of New York City. Just how excited and gleeful people are about this young man gunning him down. And I thought, man, we live in a culture of death. And not just the action of murder, but hatred, revenge, insults, and grudges. But that's not what we're called to as Christians. Responding to the wonderful, matchless grace of Jesus, we are not about the business of death. Rather, we are about the business of life. Life through the Son. Life through Jesus. And that includes for us patience and peace and gentleness and mercy and doing good to our enemies. You know, when I was young, in middle school, I think this was about 7th or 8th grade, I was in shop class with Corey Clark. Corey Clark, of all people. Man, I don't know what it was about him, but he was so annoying. He was the worst. I don't know. I don't remember if it was the way that he talked, or things that he had to say. I don't remember the details, but I just remember having hatred for Corey Clark. He was the worst. He would just get on my nerves. And I remember one time in Mr. Moe's shop class, I had had enough of Corey Clark. And when Mr. Moe went out to another, you know, maybe the over where the saws and stuff were. I remember Corey Clark standing there, and I roughed him up. I was so sick of it. I was so sick of him. Hatred in my heart. But you know what? This is kind of funny. Who was my best friend in high school? It ended up being Corey Clark. It ended up being Corey Clark. I don't know what happened in middle school, but Corey Clark, he ended up being my best friend. You know, our big picture here is that we were enemies of God. But now, because of the saving blood of Jesus, we are friends of God. We are in the family. We are children of God. And, you know, today, as we share in this meal together, around this table, we are reminded that we're no longer enemies of God, but we're friends of God. And that was bought and paid for by the body and blood of Christ. So that we are friends of God. And as friends of God, you know we're called to be each other's friends too. And we're also to treat our neighbors as ourselves. I think this gets down to the heart of the sixth commandment. It's not just about our outward actions, but it's about our hearts. And a heart for the Lord, it also has a heart for our enemies. So let us join together in prayer. Gracious God, we're reminded as we've walked through your commandments that, like this one, there's only a few words in this verse, but Lord, it is so deep and impactful. Lord, we ask for your help. Lord, there might be some that are in this room that we consider enemies. Lord, turn our hearts around so that we have kingdom hearts, so that we see them not as enemies, but as friends. And Lord, in our community, maybe there's some people that we just hate them. We just can't stand them. Lord, change our hearts. For we know that no murderer is welcome in the kingdom of God. We ask for this help in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sin and death. Now you're risen. to my knees.